time to bring to you today's message by Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. May God bless you as you listen.
Anointing. I will not give any theological definition. I will define this thing in a way that the market woman can understand. Anointing is that which enables an ordinary man to do a supernatural thing. When I say man, I mean man and woman. Anointing is that which enables an ordinary human being to do supernatural things. Anointing is not skill. It's not something you learn. Maybe I should explain that one. There's a difference between skill and anointing. Skill, for example, is something you learn, something you acquire by practice. Anointing is something that is heavenly given, something that comes from above. And I give you an illustration. There was a gathering, Christian gathering, and there was this professional singer who came and sang Psalm 23. By the time she finished singing, everybody got up and clapped and clapped and clapped because it was fantastic presentation. When finally they sat down, an old man there went to the man conducting the program and said, "Please, can I sing the same song?" And well, okay, let's see how you sing. After all, there's more time for entertainment. And the old man got up and sang Psalm 23. By the time she finished, everybody was on his or her knees, weeping and crying to God. The first one was skill. The second one was what? Okay. Today, there are many skillful preachers. People who know how to begin. A, B, C. Introduction, body, conclusion. With a lot of gymnastics. A lot of shouting, a lot of sweating, a lot of running up and down. So that at the end of the day, you say, "Wow, what a wonderful service." But the following day, if they ask you, "What exactly happened yesterday?" "Oh, it was wonderful." "Hey, we know. But what happened to you?" "Oh, well, it was wonderful." That's skill. And anybody can learn it. Anybody can get all the tapes of Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savey, Schambach, memorize them in his bedroom. Come out, repeat everything word for word, and put all kinds of gesticulations, the church will grow. But there will not be a group of people with changed lives. So there's a difference between good sermons and great sermons. Good sermons you enjoy. Great sermons you never forget. One comes through skill, the other comes through anointing. Somebody can beat the drum skillfully and we will all enjoy it. Another can beat the same drum and your head will swell. Anointing. So, as simply as I can, that's anointing. There are various things we can compare it to. One good thing is we can compare it to electricity. Anointing is like divine electricity. You don't see it, but it's there. You know it by what it produces, by the work that it does. If all of a sudden this microphone were to go silent, if the light were suddenly to go off, without anybody telling you, we will all say, power failure. So anointing is something that when you have it, you don't need to tell people you have it. It will show itself. Whenever you see somebody who says he's dripping with anointing, he hasn't got it. When a woman is pregnant, she doesn't go about telling everybody, "Don't you know I'm pregnant?" If you are pregnant, we will see. If a woman begins to tell you, "You know I'm already 3 months pregnant," find out. She ate extra pounded yam. Anointing is like divine electricity. Also, because of the way it works in the life of those who have it, it also obeys certain laws of heat. You know, when you are standing in the sun, you cannot see that thing which is really making you sweat. Of course, you can see the sun up there, but that which is raising your temperature is not something you can hold by the hand, but you know it is there quite all right. I'm saying that because of the three possible ways by which anointing can be transferred. Because my prayer today is that by the time you go out of here, you will become the anointed. I didn't hear your amen. You better remain awake, because you are not going to hear this lecture ever again. Unless maybe you hear it through the tape. So this is a unique opportunity. Don't stay awake, no matter how tired you are. Just sleep. Leave me alone at this moment. If you feel sleepy, go and stand at the back. Three ways by which anointing could be transferred. Anybody who does... Oh, well, maybe you want to write down Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah 10, verse 27 says, "The anointing breaks the yoke." Anointing breaks the yoke. Whether the yoke of sickness or yoke of poverty or yoke of sorrow, anything. When anointing is there, the yoke will be broken. Three ways by which anointing could be transferred. One way is called by conduction. By conduction means by physical contact. If a man who is anointed comes physically in contact with someone who needs anointing, anointing can be transferred. For example, if a man shakes hands with you with the intention of transferring anointing, anointing can be transferred. In other words, we can shake hands for greeting purposes. "How are you? God bless you. Hello, my dear," and so on. But when we shake hands with the intention of saying, "Take it," you can get anointed. Amen? All right. Well, a good example to prove that is found in Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Acts 3, 1 to 8. It's the story of the man who was born lame, sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple, begging for alms. He saw Peter and John going to the temple, asked for alms. Peter and John came back and said, "Look on us." What does that word mean? Be attentive. Something is about to happen. How many of you already feel something is going to happen to you today anyway? Let me hear you say amen. So look on us. That's the first thing they said. Be attentive. Don't let your mind wander. Look on us. And then he paid attention. Of course, he was thinking he was going to get money. And the man said, no, we don't have money, but we have something we want to give to you. Some people said what he gave to him was the name of Jesus. No. He said, "What I have I give unto you, but I'm giving it in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk." And the man stood up, remained there, sitting down, not moving. So Peter perceived that this man's faith is not the kind that can receive anointing by any other method other than by conduction. He grabbed his hand. And as he did, the anointing flowed from Peter into the man. And as he entered the tip of his hand, it went through the rest of the body and broke every yoke that was binding that man. Suddenly, the man jumped up, began to leap, to praise God. And I'm praying that today there'll be some jumping and dancing and rejoicing here in Jesus' name. Amen. Another way by which anointing can be transferred is called convention. Those of you who did a little bit of science, you will know what that word means. It means anointing can be transferred through a medium. Like, for example, you know, I said it could be compared to electricity. Your car is parked somewhere. It took you there quite all right, and after you parked, you tried to start, and it refused to start. And you checked, and you found that it was your battery that has run down. What do? You pick the battery, you bring it to a battery charger. What does the battery charger do? It just connected your battery to the main source. And after current has flown into your battery to give it, to transfer a little bit of the electricity from the source to your battery, you now carry your battery back to the car. And you kick the fellow, and it begins to work again. So anointing has been transferred from the main source, from the socket in the shop of the battery charger, into your battery. Your battery now carries that anointing, as it were, to your car. That's what you see us doing when we pray over handkerchiefs and send it to somebody. We are transferring anointing by conversion. And a good example is found in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. The Bible says, from the body of Paul, handkerchiefs, aprons were taken to people who were sick. And as soon as demons see this handkerchief that is carrying anointing approaching, they run. Well, there are some testimonies I could give, but let me ask, how many of you have been born again? Only 2 years. Raise your hand. Only 2 years. Okay. All right, put down your hands. How many of you joined the Redeemed Christian Church of God? Only the last 2 years. Okay. So, I will share this testimony. You are not likely to have heard it. This one happened, I think, 1982 or so. So, I have just returned from America. I've just seen God performing some miracles and signs and wonders through some men of faith. And when I was in the plane, I was discussing with Daddy. I said some things that if he were not God, probably would have killed me. I said, God, I've seen you now making the lame to walk, doing miracles here in America. If I get back home to Nigeria and you don't do the same thing, I'm going to tell everybody that you are a racist. It's my daddy, otherwise he would have broken my head. But he knew that I was saying it out of a genuine concern for my people. Lord, I'm going back. What I've seen you do here, you must do in Africa. And to prove to me that he was ready, an opportunity came very, very quickly. As soon as I arrived, weak and tired, a sister came and said, my grandmother is sick. They've taken her to the hospital. They operated on her. They sewed her back. But for one reason or another, maybe because of old age, because she was over 80, the place they sewed back refused to heal. And now whenever she ate any food, the food was coming out of the place. So she was sinking. But because she was wealthy, the doctors could not send her home. So they were just waiting for the old woman to go. She said, I don't mind if the granny dies, but I don't want her to die in a disgraceful manner. So if God will just heal her first, and then some days later, if she wants to go, she can go. So please come and pray. I said, I'm sorry, I'm tired, I couldn't go. All of a sudden, I remember this passage. All of a sudden, I remember the little discussion I had with my daddy in the plane, over which he didn't break my head. So I said, go and bring me an handkerchief. And he brought one, and I prayed over it. That was the first time I ever did. I prayed over it and said, take it to your grandmother. She took it into the grandmother far away in the eastern states, somewhere there. Got there, laid it on the woman. The following day, the doctors came in to see if Mama was dead. Not only did they discover that Mama was healed, they could not even find this place where they operated. There was no scar left behind. That's one example of anointing transferred to bring about healing. I give you another example. I'm telling you this so that, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm telling you this so that you know what God is going to begin to use you to do. Did I hear your amen? Tell the fellow next to you, I'm the one he's talking to. This one also happened, I think, shortly after that one. You know, when I had the report of the first one, of course, my faith increased. And this time they came, some people came from Abeokuta, and they said there was a lady with a problem. Her problem was that she was sitting on a chair for 1 week. She wasn't talking to anyone. She wasn't eating. She wasn't sleeping. She wasn't getting up. Just sitting on the chair and looking straight ahead. 6 people tried to get her out of the chair. They couldn't succeed. When I said, why didn't you take her to Aro? They couldn't move her from the chair. But somebody told them that, well, God is working with someone. Anointing will advertise itself. Very soon, your neighbors will begin to knock at your door. Asking for help. Amen. And you'll be ready to give the help in Jesus' name. Anyway, so they came and they said, sir, what shall we do? So I said, that's no problem. Bring an handkerchief. So they went to Igbo. They brought the handkerchief. I prayed over it. Said, take it to her. Give it to her. Once she takes it, tell her to come and see me. They said, she won't talk to us. She won't call. I said, they said she won't even take the handkerchief. Okay, if she won't take it, drop it on her. They got there, and when they left, about 3 hours later, they came with the woman. They dropped it on her and said, you are wanted in Lagos, and she got up immediately and followed them. And when she came, I said, are you the one they said who refused to sleep? She said, yes, which is the first time she has spoken to anyone in 1 week. I said, well, they also told me you have not taken your bath. He said, yes. Now, I ask you to go and take your bath right there in the church at Abuja Meta. Take your bath. And I told the people, prepare tea for her and bread. I said, after taking your bath, eat and then go and sleep. She did what I said, which is a sign that she was completely healed. And she had remained normal ever since. So anointing can be transferred by contact, by convention, passing it into a medium, and the medium will take it somewhere else, and then by radiation. Now radiation means anointing can jump over space to reach you. In other words, you don't even need to wait till I finish. Because I know some of you now will be saying, today is today. I'm going to stand in the way and make sure that if he doesn't touch me, I touch him. My handkerchief, I will spread it on the ground so he will walk on it. No. Anointing can be transferred. Even now as you are listening to me, if you are really serious, if you don't consider this as just an ordinary seminar, if suddenly something within you is telling you, hey, you may not know it, but today is the day your life is going to change. If you are that kind of ready, the anointing can jump and hit you there. After all, the Bible says he sent his word and did what? And healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. In other words, even the words coming out can carry the anointing to you. It all depends on how ready you are. And a good example is found in Acts chapter 5. Acts 5. 12 to 16. Acts 5, 12 to 16. The Bible tells us that they were laying sick people in the streets, and they were asking Peter to pass along so that his shadow, not an handkerchief from his body, not a touch from him, but his shadow, will heal people. That one, of course, is the highest form of the transfer of anointing. And I remember praying to my father long ago, Daddy, I thank you that when I lay hands on the sick, they are getting healed. Daddy, I thank you that when I pray over handkerchiefs, they are producing results. But I want to be able to stand and wave my hands and let miracles happen. Well, those of you who were at the Holy Ghost service last month, you will remember he did it. We wave our hands for 2 minutes, 3,025 people got healed. That's anointing by radiation. And believe me honestly, that's where God is going to take you. Yeah. Oh yes, because I can't do the work alone. I'm looking forward to the time when I will come to Nigeria, spend 1 month. And all I will do in that 1 month will be just to recharge the batteries of my workers. And then you go and do the rest of the work. I did hear your amen. Well, I told the brethren in Papa yesterday, I said, I have said it again and again. They think I am dreaming. Some of the things happening today are things I said in 1982 that God will do. You know, I've repeated it again and again. Some people are not listening, but some are saying amen. They are getting it, because whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. The point is, will it happen to you? Or will it happen to someone else? Because my prayer ever had been, Lord, I want every usher in the Redeemed Christian Church of God to be able to raise the dead. May they bring somebody in who's been dead for 3 days. And they ask, hey, please, sir, we want to see the pastor. This child died in Maiduguri, and we've been trying to get here. The car broke down. The devil doesn't want us to get here. And the usher will say, take it easy. How long ago? They said, 3 days ago. You don't disturb our pastor on that. Put the fellow down. And they put the fellow down and say, in the name of Jesus, get up, my friend. When I was saying this kind of thing, when I say they will come, when I will just wave my hands and people will be here, there were people who said it may as a jest. A God dreamer. Keep on dreaming. Let me tell you, miracles are made up of dreams. The foundation of miracles. Dream. You can dream it, you will get there finally. I'm talking to you that at that time, the only people they will invite the pastor to come and deal with will be people who have been dead and in the mortuary for about 1 month. Oh, yes. Well, you may not believe it. You may say, amen. That's not likely. But you will see. Then they say, what about you, days, and what will you be doing? Well, anybody who dies that the pastors for one reason or the other could not raise, they will tell the people, all right, Joe, our guy has traveled. He's touring the branches all over the world. He will be back in 6 months' time, so don't bury the fellow. He's arriving on such and such a date. You may think it's a joke, but it's not at this age that I begin to joke. And I don't joke with things of eternal value. It's arriving on such and such a day. Make sure that your dead relative is on the route that is going to drive past. Because I'm not going to stop. I come down from my, it will be my own aircraft then. It won't be British Airways. Come down from my aircraft, get into my car, and every dead fellow on that route will rise. You better get ready. This is where God is taking us. And you may even think that this is going to happen in 10 years' time. It may happen in less than 2 years. So you better get ready. Amen? All right, that's the anointing. Now, let's talk about the anointed. The anointed is one who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can generate anointing. The anointed is the one who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can generate anointing. I see somebody waving there. You can't hear me or something? Okay, all right. It's talking. All right. Praise God. In other words, the anointed is like a little electric generator. You know, when you start the generator, it generates electricity. So the anointed is someone who is empowered by the Holy Spirit to generate anointing. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. I will just read the first verse there. You know the rest. Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I mean, you can see a list of the works that anointing can do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anyone who is going to be called the anointed must have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's no other way. If we are talking about the anointing of God, though, I mean, I don't have the time to talk about the anointing of the devil, because the devil has his own anointing. But since that's not your own business, you are no longer for the devil. Amen? All right. And the Bible said again in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. It said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the anointed is the one who is empowered by the Holy Spirit to generate anointing, so that anointing can break the yokes of the people the anointed will come in contact with. So when you are anointed, you can deal with lions. When I say lions, I mean physical lions, spiritual lions. Because you will remember very well when the Lord was talking about the devil, he said, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring what? Lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And a very good illustration is found in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Judges 14, verses 5 and 6. It's the story of Samson. He was going down to Timnath, and then a young lion roared at him. And when the young lion roared at him, when the young lion jumped at him, the power of the Almighty God hit him. He said the Spirit of God came on him mightily. The generator started working. Anointing was generated. When he grabbed the lion, he just tore it into two, as if you tear just a piece of paper. Flung one this way, another that way. One good thing that anointing will do for you, if you become anointed today, is that you'll be able to deal with all the lions in your own life, the lions in the life of your children, the lions in the life of all your relatives, and so on and so forth. I want to say this one to the glory of God, and God alone must take all the glory. Amen? You know that if there's any children that are usually terrible, more terrible than other normal children, they are the children of pastors. Am I correct? Oh, yes, because when you are leaving home, you tell them, don't disgrace me, oh. You know I'm the pastor. When you get to church, please, 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 you know I am. Don't, he will say, yes, daddy, yes, daddy. 5 minutes after you arrive in church, hey, come and see this boy, oh, he has broken the head of another fellow. Whose son is that? Pastor's son. Why? Because many, 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 many of the pastors do not pay attention to anointing. You are dragging people from the lion's den of Satan. And he will say, fine, if I can't catch you, what about your children? So the children of pastors face the most severe attack from the enemy. Papa is trying the best at home. You, when we get home today, you will see. And then they will get home, you will cane the boy. Caning is not the solution. Anointing is the solution. Amen? When you get the anointing, you can say, devil, you are not going to come near my house. You come, I tear you to pieces. And you don't joke with the enemy. Amen? So, because this is minister's conference, that's why I threw that one in, free of charge. When you get anointed, the first thing you'll be able to do is you set yourself free. You know, many of us go for deliverance. And at times, the fellow you go to for deliverance, he himself might be bound. That's why many people have gone for deliverance 10 times. And they are still bound. In fact, some of them are more bound than before they first went. But if the anointing of God comes upon you, you don't need to go to anybody for deliverance. You'll be free yourself. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. When the, I mean, when